The Old Testament reading is from Proverbs 25, verses 2 through 10. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord. The New Testament reading is from Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 17. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he said also to the man who had invited him, When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is actually next week's gospel lesson, and it's from Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not sit down first and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Doesn't everybody want or enjoy paying very little and getting a whole lot for your money? You know, I've really never met somebody who says, "No, you know what? I really want to overpay for that. You know, it's really my objective today, just see how much I can blow and get as little back for it as I can." And of course, this time of the year starts that lovely thing called garage sales. All right, pet peeve, they drive me nuts. Because people are driving down the road in a neighborhood, and all of a sudden, they see a garage sale. And of course, every garage sale has a genuine Ming Dynasty vase for a dollar. So you run over everybody possible, park your car in the middle of the road to get that deal. Oh, anyway, one of my pet peeves. People will also look at classified ads to find the best deals. Or you go to your stores. We all know which grocery stores to go to get the best prices. Or we wait for holidays like Labor Day sales or Black Friday sales, which always amazes me when people go out the day after Thanksgiving into those massive crowds. But hey, bless you if you're into that. All right? Because me, I kind of like to shop this way. Much, much easier. And see, we don't really want to pay full price, but we want the value of the best. Or we want the best value. The title for today's message is, "What's in the Cup?" Previous to this, James and John had asked Jesus to be put at the right and left hand of God. When Christ came into his power, one wanted to be put on his right, one to his left. In other words, to be the two most important people in the kingdom. And Jesus asked them this question, "Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" What does it mean to share in that cup he's about to drink? Well, we're all on a journey with the Lord. The question is, what kind of a journey and how long is that journey? And I'm going to use the analogy of three cups. A solo cup, a dirty cup, and a covenant cup. Now, how many of you know that great American hymn writer, Toby Keith? All right. And his, well-known hymn that opens up so much, Solo Cup, Red Solo Cup. Some of you guys are going, really? Yes, pastor's going to quote Toby Keith in a sermon. Now, do you want to hear me sing it or just read the lyrics? I think we'll just go with the reading part. You know, Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup.
I lift you up. Proceed to party, proceed to party. Now I really love how easy you are to stack, and I really hate how easy you are to crack. Now, you know, those of you who know that song, you're going to have that stuck in your head the rest of the day. All right? And I should have gotten a red solo cup. Man, I'm actually holding one. Smart people can see it, right? Okay. It's cheap. It's disposable. And he was right. They're easy to crack. And I also love it. People use them to disguise what they're drinking. Really? You're driving down the road and you're holding a red solo cup and you really want me to believe it's lemonade? I saw a guy the other day do that. It's like, I'm just going to hope it is, because otherwise you're a real ding-dong. All right. That's a red solo cup. And the song goes on again and again, proceed to party. Well, Paul tells us in the letter to the Hebrews, the 11th chapter, that sin is very pleasurable, but fleeting. So I'm going to explain this using the three cups. One is the red solo cup, because it is something that is fleeting, that proceed to party. We're told in Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one point, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. For some people, that cup that they drink is just like that red solo cup. It's empty, and it always ends in pain. Christ, though, has a different idea of what life is supposed to be. He wants life to be to the fullest, wants us to enjoy all that he has in mind, but some people choose a dirty cup. The solo cup, that's the idea of somebody living their life. God's not even on the radar screen. But the idea of the dirty cup is appears godly on the outside, but inside's hanging on to the desires of the flesh. Jesus says of the religious leaders in Matthew 23, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." Jesus puts it another way in Luke chapter 11, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness." The religious leaders looked good on the outside. They said the right things, they appeared to do the right things, but inside there was only corruption and greed. It's kind of like that dirty cup. It looks good on the outside, but do you really want to drink what's inside that cup? Did you ever get a cup out of the dishwasher that isn't quite clean and you pour something to drink in and get down to the bottom and then you see the yick in there? You know, I don't think anybody's ever gone, "Oh, wow, that added some unique flavor to it." All right? We don't want to be like that dirty cup. So the religious leaders look good. They said the right things, but they're corrupt on the inside. For some, Christianity is just a show. Outside, they look good. They know the right things to say to, quote, sound like a Christian. But they're not sharing in the cup that Jesus is talking about. In Matthew 23, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are." You know, so much for that idea of Jesus always soft-spoken and nice. What he's saying about saying about Christians when we are like dirty cups, we are leading more people to hell in the process. You don't want to be like the red solo cup, and we don't want to be like a dirty cup. But either one of these positions is not a forever lost position. Anybody can recover from them. Excuse me. For example, take Saul in the New Testament. We mentioned him this morning in Bible study. Saul was a man that, amongst the Pharisees, he had a very high rank. He studied underneath the greatest Pharisee of his day. Outside, Paul looked great. But the inside, his heart was full of hate and murder. So Paul would be kind of like those first two cups, especially the second one. All right, look good on the outside, but corrupt on the inside. But yet God still used Paul. And the right road begins, coming back from those positions, the right road begins with repentance. And that's going to get me to the third cup, the cup of the covenant. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." This cup is that shed blood of Christ that we receive in communion. It gives us promise, it gives us victory, it gives us healing, and it gives us redemption. That's the cup Jesus is talking about when he says to the disciples, "Can you drink the cup that I am about to drink?" In Mark 10, Jesus had said, they were on their way to Jerusalem. "And when Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid, again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. 'We are going to Jerusalem,' he said, 'and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise.'" Jesus gets done saying those words, that he's going to Jerusalem to die. And that's right where, just prior to our gospel lesson, that James and John says, "Oh, okay, yeah, we heard that part about the death and stuff in Jerusalem, but, we just want to get to the good part. We want to be on the right and left hand in your kingdom." How many times do we overlook the so-called valleys of life because we want the best? I want that. I just don't want to go through this on the in-between. We'll tell God, "God, do whatever it takes. You do it." "Oh, wait a minute. That's not quite what I had in mind." Are we really ready to drink that cup? Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that that cup be removed from him, "But not my will, thy will be done." Jesus talks about the price of discipleship. The price of discipleship. Complicated words, you know? All right. In Luke, he says, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service, for service in the kingdom of God." In Luke 14, it says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." He's not talking about literally hating. Like, this is so detestable, I don't want them around. It's not that we're commanded to hate our parents or our siblings or other people. No. What that is, that's that the Jewish expression that means, all right, "God, I will follow you. All this other stuff means nothing to me in comparison to you." It's just the way the English language, we see that word, you got to hate your mother or father. Oh, no, that's not what he's talking about. In comparison, nothing's as important as God is. And he asks the question, "Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" It's not a question about judgment. It's a question about preparation. When we embrace that cup of the covenant, we become his disciples. So my question is, what's in your cup? Is your life's purpose like a red Solo cup? Then you're going to get cracked from life. Is your life purpose like a dirty cup? Then you're going to end up leading others astray. What our life's purpose should be is that covenant cup. So today let's try it again. Today, he's asking us to embrace the cup. Can you drink from the cup that Jesus drank from? So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.